Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we have author Amber Forbes, and she's going to talk about her new novel, When Stars Die. Welcome, Amber.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello,
are you
everyone.
There?
Yes, I am here.
why don't you tell the audience a bit about yourself and your background?
Okay, well, currently I'm a university student right now taking online classes because it's more flexible for me and my job. I'm a marketing trainee. Basically, I try to set appointments with homeowners, and I can get commission off those, so I can make good money if I can sell stuff. I'm also a ballet dancer, and that's as much of a passion as my writing is, and I've been doing that for about 2.5 years, so that's been a lot of fun for me, too. And obviously, I'm a writer, too, published author, all that. Love video games. I was born in Washington, D.C., and I've lived in Augusta, Georgia pretty much all my life, so I tell people I'm from here.
what brought you to writing?
What inspired my writing or brought me to writing?
What started you writing?
Well, it's really bizarre to explain, but I actually fell in love with writing before I fell in love with reading, because ever since I was in the first grade, I didn't like picture books. I really wanted to read chapter books, so, you know, I wasn't really satisfied with reading because my mom would not let me read a chapter book. So it wasn't until the second grade, and I started reading chapter books, but they just didn't relate to me yet. So reading wasn't something I was passionate about. And we had this journal time. I think we did it for 30 minutes every day, and I started out just writing about, you know, things that I did all day, and then I got into the Magic Treehouse books, but those are the only books I would, like, read. And then my favorite game at the time, and it still is kind of my favorite game, was Spyro with the little purple dragon. And I started making, like, writing crossover fan fiction between them. And I'd pick up several journals for one story, so it was probably, like, my first novella. And then I knew right then and there that I wanted to be a published author, but I also thought, you know, you had to go to college and get a degree and all that to be an author. So, you know, I was just thinking, okay, I just got to wait until I go to college and then I can become a published author.
And when you began writing, you said you began as a journalist and then fan fiction. Do you have a favorite genre of fan fiction that you like?
Well, I don't write fan fiction anymore, but I guess my favorite genre of fan fiction would be paranormal.
This is a specific show that you were writing on?
It wasn't really, it was more fantasy at the time, but, you know, I still read fan fiction every now and then, but it's more like paranormal fan fiction from, like, my favorite shows, like Black Butler or something of that nature.
Yeah, I love fan fiction, too. I've read it since long before you were thought of. When I started writing fan fiction, it was Star Trek fan fiction, and we didn't have computers. We would type it up and trade it at conventions and at meetings and stuff like that. So, a different world.
Yeah, I was trying to start a Kingdom Hearts fan fiction for my fiancé, but then I got sucked into this other novel, and I haven't gone back to fan fiction since because I've been so busy with all these other novels that it's, like, really hard to squeeze in time for any kind of other writing. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to do it, too. I actually am working on a fanfic, but I'm in the middle of, like, 2 books, so it's, like, when I can, I'm writing that, too. You have to squeeze it in. You're right. What kind of books do you like? What's your favorite type of book? Is it the same as the fan fiction? Is it a horror or anything like that? Or do you have a favorite author?
Oh, the bizarre thing is that while I'm writing paranormal right now and I plan to do a fantasy book in the future, my favorite genre is actually contemporary. So John Green is, like, on my radar all the time. The Fault in Our Stars is my most favorite book of all time right now. Like, no other book can just compare. So I'm rabidly waiting the day when John Green releases another book.
That's what we all want, right? As an author, we all want to rabidly wait for us to write our next book. Yeah, I personally like to read different types of books, and I get into these modes. Like, there's a time when I'd be reading contemporary fiction, and other times I'll be reading classic English literature, and then other times I'll be in a mystery or next science fiction. I never stay in the same thing for that long. I mean, do you have other types of genre that you enjoy to read or write, or do you just stick to one?
I love dystopian books. I've mainly been reading like a lot of self-published dystopian books or like books from independent houses, because so it's just my personal opinion, but the traditional houses just seem to kind of be publishing more of the same with dystopian books. Like, I found there's like Marie Lu's Legend, which is, you know, sort of about taking a test to be in. It's been a while since I've read the first book, and I know you had to take a test to be in the army or whatever. And then I found another book that was sort of similar to it, where you take a test to be in this special group, and then Divergent, you take a test. And Divergent and Legend, you know, are very different, but it's kind of like, oh my God, it's just starting to sound more of the same again. And the last dystopian book I read was actually called The Only Boy by Jordan Locke, and it was a really interesting concept to me because it's about a world, as far as he knows, is ruled by women, and he's the only boy. And if he's discovered that he's, because he has to play the part of a girl to fit in, but if he's discovered that he's a boy, it could mean death for him. So that was very unique to me. And then I still read paranormal on occasions, but the genre is starting to die for me a little bit. And then there's fantasy, too. Like, I really want to get into, well, Liberace is paranormal, but I want to get into the Diviners trilogy. I just haven't started reading it yet.
Finding the time.
I know, that's the thing.
What do you think of the different styles of publishing? You touched on that a little bit. Do you prefer independent authors or self-published authors as opposed to the big traditional publishing world?
It's a mix, actually. Like, I don't have a preference between either of them, because I still do read traditional books, but the concept has to really jump out at me for me to really get it. And independent books, too, it's sort of one of those things where it's like, well, it's 99 cents, but you still got to wonder, because there have been a lot of 99 cents books that I've read, and it's like, okay, this author could do so much better. Like, the reviews are good, but the readers are just being too lax on it. They're like, there are a bunch of grammar errors, but the story's great, and I can't accept that. Like, I read those books, and I'm like, I'm an editor, and I can't accept these glaring grammar errors. But then there are some self-published books that are just like, this is just amazing. Like, there's Jacob Onsignor's Imperial Illusions and Awakening Fire, and he's really great. And then Jordan Locke's The Only Boy. But Jordan Locke actually has a literary agent who tried to get The Only Boy in a big publishing house, but nobody wanted to take it because supposedly they're getting tired of dystopian fiction. But his agent had pretty much already edited everything, and he just decided to take it and self-publish it. But I don't have a preference for either or. I'm a picky reader in the first place.
Okay. Well, I mean, everybody has their passions. I was just more curious about, do you have a passion for those type of books, or is it more you're more eclectic. You just go for what you feel at that moment.
Yeah, I go for what I feel at the moment. Like, I'm still feeling very contemporary right now. Or sort of contemporary, because I've been reading, like, a lot of what they call problem books lately, which is, you know, a bunch of books of, like, mental illnesses or kids just, you know, living crap lives or going through something really, you know, abnormal that not a lot of teens go through, so. But I haven't read in quite a while.
That's interesting. When you have your time to write, how do you work out your time with your family and your friends? I mean, do you, like, basically say, hey, this is my time, leave me alone? Or do they just know that you're going to be working on your writing at this time of night? Or do you sneak it in and work while you're doing something else? How do you get the time to write with all the other stuff that you do?
They pretty much expect that I'm going to be writing sometime during the day. And when I'm not, like, editing or, you know, just copy editing, which is what I've been doing right now for the sequel to Insert Thought, I try to do one chapter a day for my book. So they always expect I'm going to be doing something. I don't have to work in any time. It's just, you know, here I am in the morning. I don't have work. Let me get this done. You know, I take ballet twice a week, and I'm probably going to have to slow down once I start the online classes up again, but I always try to get some sort of writing done, and there's no problem with balancing it in my life.
Have they read your books? Are they proud? Or how are they reacting to you being an author?
Well, one of my friends, she read an ARC, and she absolutely loved it. Another of mine, she wants to buy the print book, but she wants it in bookstores for some reason before she buys it. And a lot of my friends haven't bought it, actually, for one reason or another, but at the same time, I'm sort of glad because I basically want strangers to buy my book. I mean, that's what it's all about for me because, you know, I mean, I had one friend read my book, and thank God she didn't give me a perfect rating, because I always worry when my friends give me a perfect rating that, you know, they did it just because they're my friend. But, yeah, not a lot of them, well, hardly any of them have bought it for one reason or another.
Huh. That's a little unusual.
Yeah, I mean, they support my writing, but, you know, a lot of my friends, they've graduated college, and so they've got all these jobs, and they hardly have any time for reading themselves. So it is what it is.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about your book? Not a reading of it, but just explain what it's about and what kind of feeling or what would you like the audience to take away from it?
Okay, well, When Stars Die is just basically about how the main character, she finds out her little brother is a witch, and witches are extremely hated in her world. So she takes her little brother, and they go off to a convent because she hopes that by becoming a nun, she can become closer to the god in her world, whose name is Deus, which is just Latin for God. So she hopes that by becoming closer with him, he'll forgive her brother or her family, period, for the sin of witchcraft, and that way, you know, when he dies or when they die, they can go into paradise, which is the heaven of her world. But she eventually discovers that there is no redemption for a witch, but she is determined to find a place for witches where there's no discrimination against them. And what I ultimately want readers to take away from this is that I want them to start questioning everything they believe in their lives. Because Amelia, she'll point this out constantly. She'll think that nobody questions what they believe. They just accept it at face value because the Vulgate, which is their Bible, tells them to hate witches, but they don't question why they should. So that's what I like to really challenge people's beliefs and what they believe. I like to ask them, okay, why do you believe this? What's the logic behind what you believe? So I just want readers to start questioning everything they know.
It's a very good thing. What has been the reaction to your book from the fans that you've heard from?
It's mostly been very positive, and I've actually been a little surprised because the book itself almost seems anti-religious, and I was very worried that when it got published, you know, Christian readers would get really offended by it. But then I kind of learned that the only ones who would get offended by it are the ones who hold a really extreme view of God, because the one in my book is just really, really hateful. But people, you know, there are those extreme religious people who think, oh, you're going to go to hell for every single little thing. Well, that's basically what the people in my book believe. So, because I've had Christian readers read it, and none of them have been offended at all by it. Probably because they're not the ones who hold an extreme view, because I think Amelia mentions throughout the book that, you know, I believe Deus would actually be a kind and loving God, not something so hateful that these people are portraying. So the reactions have been pretty positive.
That's good. Sort of my view as well. I think that's a very interesting idea. I think that when people start saying they know what God is and what God says and God speaks to them and stuff like that, that's when you should be a little wary of it.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Because, you know, I think that one of the things that I have in my own personal belief system is that I have an open heart. And so I don't judge people by what they think and what they believe, but it seems to me that some of the more out there religions, they want to judge everything that I think and believe. And I just think that's something to also be very wary of. And so I like your idea, really.
Yeah, so my book basically makes, not necessarily makes fun, but calls out crap, essentially. They calls them out on them. So. But who knows if those are going to be the ones that read the book anyway. They might
think that
anything with fantasy or paranormal is sinful in the first place.
Yeah, they won't read it. I mean, they read the Bible over and over, and the Bible is a great book, but to just read one book is very limiting and sort of
bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't
open
you up.
You won't reach that audience at all.
Yeah, because just reading one book just really doesn't open up your worldview that much, because that's what I love about reading, especially YA fiction, is that you get to read all these different viewpoints from these characters from all walks of life. And so it kind of makes you a more open-minded person because, you know, you're getting an inside view of a person that you would probably think poorly of if you actually met in real life.
That's true. That's true. And also, you can look into the mind of someone who's evil and it doesn't hurt you because it's a book.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, even if the biggest fantasy hit, which was Harry Potter, you're looking in the mind of one of the most evil characters ever, Voldemort, but it's not hurting you. You're reading it in a book. He's not going to come out and get you.
Yeah.
When you got your book, the printed copy, and the first time, the first book, was it like Christmas morning? Was it like, oh, wow, or your birthday?
It felt extremely unreal to me. Like, it was just so weird to be holding a copy of my book. I didn't really know how to feel because I kept looking at my fiance and telling him this is just so weird that I wrote this thing and is in my hands and I've been dreaming of this forever, but it's so weird. Like, it's still a little bit weird to me.
Well, I think that's great. It's a joy. It should be like an Olympic medal, you know? That's that high. What is your biggest satisfaction in completing your book?
My biggest reaction to completing it?
No, satisfaction.
Oh, biggest satisfaction to completing it. That it's done, and now it's a reader's responsibility. Like, if you've ever read John Green's FAQ, he'll talk about how, you know, he loves The Fault in Our Stars. He loves writing it, obviously, but he couldn't wait to get it done. And now he basically says that he's so glad it's not his responsibility anymore, that it's readers' responsibilities. And I feel the exact same way.
So once the book is done and it's out of your hands, it's now the reader's responsibility.
Yeah, that's what I believe.
Because
it's their responsibility of how they react to it. Because once it's published, there's nothing more I can do to it. It's out there. It's done. It's not my responsibility anymore because I can't control what they do. I can't control all the one stars I can, because it's not like I can take that book back and go, okay, I'll fix this and this for you. Nope, it's done. It's forever going to be like that. You know, maybe 10,000 years from now or something, somebody will decide to take it and edit it over again. But it's no longer in my hands anymore.
That's true. That's true. And I also feel that it's really unfair when people give a two and one star. I never do that. I just don't believe in that. Somebody who puts in the work in a book, whether you like the book or you don't like the book, it's so unfair to say it's poor, not worth reading, and all that other horrible stuff that they put on there, especially on Amazon, basically because they've never written anything in their life, and they're doing it because they're basically just being nasty.
Yeah, I've never, ever seen a constructive one-star or two-star review before. Never.
Yeah.
I just read readers saying, oh, this book is so stupid. Everything is so stupid. Don't waste your time. And they don't really explain why. So it's like, you do realize your review is not going to be taken seriously, right? I mean, I've got one two-star review for my book, but the reader, she claimed she was going to post a review, but she never did. But at the same time, she was also, we also knew each other, too. So it stung, but I knew that if she wrote the review, she was probably going to do her best to be sensitive about it. But on overall, I have never seen a constructive one-star or two-star review. It's the three-star reviews that I go for when deciding whether or not to buy a book.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, if someone puts three stars, that means the book is average because they're accepting the fact that they put in all the effort and the work and the editing and all the work that you have to do. And then it builds up from there. Anything below that, I just think is people being, you know, the way they are. I mean, look at what they do to celebrities. It's just the nastiness of the web. That's just my opinion, but that's how I think it is, and especially on Goodreads and Amazon and stuff like that, where they just get nasty for no reason.
Yeah, like one of my favorite authors, Mary Gray, The Dollhouse's Island, there was this one-star review, and my heart absolutely bled for her when I read it because it was absolutely cruel because it's like the reader didn't even take any time to analyze anything in the book. Like, she was just saying, well, these characters are so stupid and they're doing these stupid things and all this stupid stuff is happening. And it's like, I'm a really analytical person, so I look at, okay, why is the character doing this? Why are these characters doing this? And usually if the book is well-written enough, I can find an answer. And I thought the book was well-written enough. But, you know, the thing I learned is that there's a type of literacy that not everybody has, and it's that being able to look in between the lines, and most people aren't able to do that. It's, you know, it's basically college-educated people that I've learned that can do that. So they read between the lines, and they're not as harsh about a book because they can go, okay, why is the character doing this? Because you're taught to question that kind of stuff. You don't just think and go, okay, this character is absolutely stupid for doing that, because that is not something that I would ever do. And it's like, well, you can't compare yourself to that character because that character is different from you, and they're in a different situation from you, and you can't know how you're going to react in that situation unless you're in it.
Exactly. And also, it's more like they're just trying to say, hey, this book didn't do what I wanted it to do, therefore it stunk. Well, I'm sorry. The author's not doing it for you. The author's doing it for everyone. So just because it doesn't go during the line that you wanted it to go doesn't mean it is invalid. Yeah, I agree. I think that's very sad, and it hurts, and they do it to hurt. That's the reason to do it, is because they've tried and they can't, so therefore, stab, stab, stab.
Yeah, it makes me sad, too, because a lot of people were replying to this review and, you know, basically going, yeah, I'm definitely not going to buy this book, and it really made me sad. that review was definitely determining people's opinions on whether or not to buy that book. Now, for all the readers out there listening to this, I say go toward the 3-star reviews, because these are people who pick out things they like and pick out things that they don't like. And the things that they don't like are things you might like.
Exactly. If 3-star and up is a more fair determination, that's I agree. And when I look at a review and I see something, I mean, I've seen people I really admire, like Dan Brown. I mean, I love Da Vinci Code. I love a lot of his books.
Yeah.
And some people just tear him to pieces because of the religious stuff, and I just don't think that's fair. I mean, it's a literary book. It's not a biblical scholarship. It's a fictional story, and that people start tearing into it because of what their concepts are, it's not fair. Those people are being overly cruel, and it doesn't make sense to me. I never has. And it hurts even worse when it's my stuff.
I mean, if I do get a 1-star review, you know, it's going to hurt, but, you know, I got to move on and keep doing what I'm doing. And, you know, Mary Gray, the author, has commented on the review of her book, and it's not, you know, if you look it up on Goodreads, it isn't a stellar rating for her book, but she recognizes that, and she encourages her potential readers to not get turned off by that rating, because, and I'm going to be honest, you know, if I hadn't gotten an arc of her book and I looked at that rating, I might have turned away from it a little bit. But then again, I don't always look at ratings too. I sometimes look at the description of the book, and that alone can determine whether or not I buy a book. And it doesn't even matter what the rating is. If the description is strong enough and it's understandable enough, I'll buy that book regardless of what the rating is. But if it's a poor rating with a poor description, I'll probably stay away from it. But, you know, sometimes, you know.
I was just going to say, I don't think it should all be rating. I don't think it should be. I think it should be, you should experiment. You should look at stuff. It should be more than just somebody's opinion. It should be other stuff. You should pick up a book just because, oh, that sounds interesting, not because somebody's review. I mean, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But I mean, I'll give you an example. I had no interest in Harry Potter and the series. One of my friends, very, very, actually my best friend, she says, you have to read this book. And I go, it's in the kids' department. Why am I reading this book? It's silly. And she says, just read the first book. I got hooked. I took that book and I gave it to my dad. He got hooked. Gave it to my brother. He got hooked. It's more than just where you got it, what it's supposed to be about, or anything else. If it lights your imagination, go for it. If it doesn't matter what department of the bookstore it's in or who reviewed it or what, you should go by more than that. That's at least how I feel about books.
Yeah, like, I was resistant. I mean, it was in the third grade, but I was resistant to the Harry Potter books just because they were so popular. Like, I don't know, I was so resistant against anything that was super popular until I just decided to go, okay, let me check out what it's all about. And then, you know, I got hooked too.
Yeah. I mean, she writes so well, it's hard not to get hooked into her books.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about what you're working on now and if you have any events coming up?
Okay, well, obviously I'm working on the sequel to When Stars Die, just trying to get copy edits done. I'm on the dreaded part where I'm reading it out loud. Like, it took me 2 weeks to get to it because I was looking for something else that could read it out loud for me, but then my publisher told me it's just best that I do it myself because, like, a computer or whatever can't put a tone to. So I basically have been reading my book in a British accent. Because they're in the 19th century, even though they're in a completely different continent or whatever, they still have a bit of Britishisms about them, so I just read it in a British accent. And then there's this other book that's a contemporary fantasy that I hope to get back to once I turn in the book to my publisher. And it's basically just about a boy who commits suicide and ends up in an entirely different world for people who are like him. So basically people who have had really difficult lives. And this world gives him a chance to start over. But then while he's there, he starts hearing some creepy rumors about some guy who's been kidnapping pretty people. And then obviously readers are going to know that he's eventually going to become a victim. And it's going to be a really creepy, creepy book because the antagonist is just really, really creepy. But, you know, if any of you readers or listeners out there read When Stars Die, you're going to get a taste that I am a really dark writer. So I'm probably going to remain a dark writer.
We don't have a lot of time left. Do you have any kind of events coming up?
Well, I know I can't be at this conference, but the Turning Pages is going to a conference in Florida. Unfortunately, I cannot remember the name, but my books are going to be at that conference. You know, they're going to be on sale. They're all going to be autographed. There are going to be some bookmarks with it. So if I think it's in Orlando, Florida. So if you guys are going to that conference at Orlando, Florida, come stop by and check out my books.
All right, all right. And thank you very much. We've run out of time. Thank you for being on Chatting with Sherry Amber.
You're welcome. It was great talking.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry. Go ahead.
Bye.
What are you going to say? Bye-bye. Thank you.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you for chatting with Sherry.